get started, I have a few classes that are coming up. There is a 5-day intensive called the New Basics. It's about the new consent basics, really in depth. That's from February 19th to 23rd. Then I'm doing my 5-week rom-com class, a media literacy course for the hopeless romantic. That one's gonna be super fun. That starts February 28th. And then my consent educator program this time around is a consent-based teaching artist program. So the goal is to help artists figure out how and what they want to teach and create a business around that to support their art practice. That is 11 weeks and it contains the consent educator training, the unblocked class on moving through creative blocks with a consent practice with yourself, and business support. My Boundaries and Consent workbook for people pleasers is now available for pre-order in paperback, which is super exciting. It's being published by For the Birds, Trapped in Airports, which is a local LA press. Consent Wizardry also has hats and shirts and other fun stuff that also supports the show. And of course, we have our affiliate link to Foria CBD Wellness products. You get 20% off and we get a little kickback, as well as our Lust Cinema affiliate links also in the show notes. You get access to 20% off of their softcore, hardcore, and long form porn. It's awesome. I can speak to that both from the perspective of a consumer and as an intimacy coordinator on some of their shoots. So I highly recommend that. And we get a little, it helps support the show. So take a look at those and thank you for helping. Yeah. Welcome back to Share the Load. Today, I'm talking to my dear friend, Hannah Saeed, dog park friend. Dog park friend turned into IRL friend. And I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, Mia. This is fun and cute. From dog park clothes to professional podcasting. Look at us go. Yeah, I'm Hannah Saeed. I have a queer and Middle Eastern with like Southern flared mobile coffee business called Saffron Cowboy. And it's been so cool to see my business kind of flourish. We're based in Eagle Rock in Los Angeles, and we do a lot of programming here on the east side of LA. I'm excited to kind of talk more about it.
I'm excited to hear more about it. I want to hear about the origins and like, you know, your love of coffee and like focus on community. And I also think it would be really great for us to kind of like shoot the shit about like running a business and what maybe surprised both of us, you know, like things that we maybe wish we'd known going into this. And like, because I feel like, you know, you and I talk about that and like have that in common. Obviously we run really different kinds of businesses, but yeah, just being like solopreneurs in our 30s. It's like a world I didn't expect to find myself in.
I love that.
Let's hear about how it started.
The start is I was working in corporate America. So I have a background in diversity and inclusion. That's my entire professional career, is recruiting, anything around under the HR umbrella. And I got COVID 2.5 years ago. And I was like so bored. And I had just gotten this like pretty decently nice, you know, espresso machine. And I was like, you know what? The minute I get better, I want to see every single person that I love in the exact same place.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, I just want every single person in my life. Like, this feels like immediate in the sense of urgency because I've been like starved for human contact for like 2 weeks, you know? And so while I had COVID, I hit up a friend and I was like, can you make me a logo? I really like this logo, this cat that you've already designed. Have you used it for anything? And they were like, no, you could totally have it. And I was like, well, I want to add like Middle Eastern aspects. I want it to have a Southern flair. Then they did like the evil eye and the horseshoe. And literally they turned that around because they also got COVID. We had all been on a
Oh
trip. We
no.
all had gone on a basketball trip, and all got COVID there.
Oh my God.
And so all of us, there's like 15 people with COVID. So one of them, was infected too. And I was like, so they turned it around pretty quickly, because we had nothing to do. So literally, I made a flyer and I was like, I just want to invite everybody. And that's literally how it started. So I turned my yard into like an elevated lemonade stand. So it's like a lemonade stand, but for adults. And I live on a cul-de-sac. So it was really, and I have this furniture, I have a backyard. So it was fun to put out furniture. I had this wild idea of getting milk crates as seating for people.
Wild,
It's so
insane,
weird, but
crazy.
it's, yeah, exactly. Because people have like all this like really nice furniture, and like I think it prevents people from just starting. And like money is a
Yes.
huge barrier from just starting. And I think I am getting better at just jumping in the pool. Like, well, okay, these are the resources that I have right now. Like, I'm just gonna be creative and figure it out. It's like I don't have $30 to $50 to pay for a chair or nice outside seating, but I could pay $1 to get like 50 crates. I'll pay $50 for this. And it's like old school. Like you're sitting on crates, you're playing dice, you're playing Uno, you're playing these games. Like, who cares? People are there to just like be in connection and they just don't really want to sit on the floor. So I don't know. I had all these like quirky ideas. Maybe it was the COVID, but and so then when it happened, all these people from different aspects of my life came out. All my neighbors came out, and all my queer friends, all my dog park, right? Like everybody came. And so I was like, whoa, this is really cute. And then I just kept doing them. So I was like, this is really fun, but I was also working full time. So it was kind of exhausting, but really fun. So then I think a turning point was while I was still at my job, and I threw this really big block party that like 300, 400 people came on my cul-de-sac.
Oh,
It was a
wow.
summer block party about 2 years ago. And that was like probably the best party I've ever thrown. I had like 25 vendors, majority people of color. It was just like really fun music. Like it was just such a vibe. And people I've actually dated recently were like, wait, that have come over, been like, wait, did you throw a block party here? I was at your block party, which is really funny.
Love that.
Which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
Anyways, to land the plane of the story is, that is when my friends were like, you should really take this seriously. I think you're really good at this. And I was like, nah, like I really like money and I like health insurance and like I'm not into this. And then I think like the universe and God was like, nah, like you're gonna go ahead and do this because about 6, 7 months later, I got laid off. Like my entire department got laid off. And so I was like looking for jobs. I was so unbelievably anxious and like stressed and trying to look for, D&I jobs and nothing. I got no yes. I would make it to like the seventh round, and that's never really happened to me before, which is like, I don't know. It's just kind of shocking. I feel like I've like have a lot of privilege when it comes to like finding employment. So that just felt really defeating and really overwhelming and also stressful, like financially. So I was like talking to friends about it, and they're like, Hannah, you literally have a business. Like,
Yeah.
why don't you just take this seriously? And you can make money. That's the thing that's saying yes to you. Everybody else is saying no. So I was starting to tiptoe towards like being like, let's do more, events or like, let's try to get catering stuff just to kind of help pay bills. But then a friend sent me an entrepreneur, like women of color program at
Oh, I
Cal State
remember
LA.
that.
And that just changed the game for me. So that was a free program that's still happening. I think they're going to offer another cohort this summer. I can't stress this program enough. Like even if you just simply are meeting other like women entrepreneurs in LA, like that in itself is like a really big game changer. But on top of that, you get financial advisors, you get a paid intern, like you get all these
Whoa.
like all this support. Yeah. And that is what made me be like, oh, this is like what I'm going to do. So it's a 10-month program. It took me maybe like 5 or 6 months of that to be like, what am I doing? Like, do I really want to not give up, but like stop applying to corporate jobs? Even though I know I want to do that, even though I know I want to work for myself, I'm so terrified of doing this. And then I think the latter 5 months, I was like, oh no, like we're done working for somebody. Something like switched for me. And I was like, I never want to work for somebody else unless I really, really, really have to. And I think it switched when I found a roaster to roast my beans. Cause then I was like, oh, I actually have a product now. Mm-hmm. Like I have my own line of beans that I think are really special and that I'm really proud of that he sources. And then out of all the like 15, I'm like choosing the four that I think are like so good that my friends and community would really like. So I think that also changed the game. And now this is like what I do full time. So that's been really exciting to like start in the yard and now we're blooming over here.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of it, but I didn't really know the very, very origin story. I think it's worth mentioning that the way that you and I met is that you did a pop-up outside of the dog park where I had seen you before, but we'd never talked. And you gave my dog a pup cup, a cup of whipped cream. And then we ran into each other at a bar and I was like, oh, hey, like we met at the dog park. And then we started becoming friends. And I think that's like a theme that I see in your work is like, there's such an emphasis on community. And like, I've said this to you before, like it's coffee, but it could have been anything. It's about community. It's about bringing people together. And it's really amazing to hear that that's like in the very first seed of the idea. I really appreciate you sharing like that whole story, like kernel by kernel, because I think there's often this perception that like you decided to start a business and then the next day you had a business, you know, like that it happened overnight or that like you knew with 100% certainty that this is what you wanted to do. And then you did it. And like, that's not my experience. And it's clearly not your experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit, like you sort of touched on the name, but can you make that a little more personal? I know the origin of the name, but.
Yeah. So while I was like in COVID time, I thought I wanted to call my company Silly Girl Coffee. And I thought it was
know
cute.
That. That's cute. Uh-huh.
I thought it was really cute. And then my friends were like, absolutely not. This is women are not silly women, you know, like fine. I thought it was a reclaiming of the word. So I put out a poll of different names I'd like come up with. And this is the one that everybody voted on. Cause I was like, oh, again, it comes back to like, what are people down for? And like that are outside of just Hannah Saeed show, you know, like I really need group and community support. And I think, yeah, actually, as I'm talking, I'm like, yeah, community has been in the fabric of every decision I'm kind of making. Yeah. For the most part, I'm like asking people for their opinion. Ultimately, I decide, right? But like if 5,000 people are saying, do not choose Silly Girl Coffee, I'm not going to choose Silly Girl Coffee, right? So it was between, I think, Arab Rodeo and Slapdog Cowboy.
I like Arab Rodeo.
Yeah, I think Arab Rodeo is really cool. But Saffron Cowboy won, and then multiple people were like, what if your tagline was welcome to the Arab Rodeo?
Oh, cute.
So I was like, oh, I think that's really cute. So Saffron Cowboy is, you know, my dad's from Iraq. My dad's Middle Eastern, and saffron is a spice that we use. And then cowboy, my mom's from Tennessee. So I'm biracial. So my mom's white from Tennessee. So I really wanted... After I got over Silly Girl Coffee, I was like, no, I think it would be really nice to pay homage to my family. And I really want people to interact with like the culture of where I come from, right? So like there's like cowboy stuff everywhere. The tip jar is a cowboy hat. Like I think people have a lot more access to cowboy culture living in the United States, but a lot of people don't have access to Middle Eastern culture. So then the drinks are what has like the Middle Eastern aspects of like majority of my stuff has cardamom or rose or grenadine and orange blossom. Like there are these things that I want people to interact with that they typically have not had grenadine and orange blossom, you know, oat milk tea. Hold on one second. My dog is barking. We're good.
I couldn't hear her at all. That noise suppression is pretty amazing.
Or it was a squeaky toy she was going crazy on. Okay, so where were we? So culture. So I wanted the bags of beans to have that. So all of the bags of beans are Middle Eastern goddesses. So they're like these beautiful women and they all have like a Southern flair to them. So combining like one of them, Halima has a hijab on, right? Jamila has like a fro, you know, like I want to shout out people in North Africa. I want to shout out Selma is like this like cool artsy girl, you know, like probably from Lebanon, you know, and then Layla's like the hot, beautiful, like Iranian woman, probably, you know. So it's really fun that each of these goddesses, I want it to reflect the diaspora, but and not just Iraq, but so many people I've noticed, especially Middle Eastern women, that see their names on the bag of coffee. Oh. It's like a really big deal. And I had a friend that I grew up with, her name's Layla and her mom's name's Halima, which I totally forgot.
Wow.
She came to my pop-up and she posted a photo of like the days of not being able to find your name on like a driver's license, you know, like the little like keychains is over. Like now you can find your name actually on coffee beans.
Wow.
And I thought that was really cool. And like another woman shared that she got the coffee for her mom and she got the Halima brand because her grandma's name was Halima. And she gave it to her mom and her mom started crying because the image kind of looked like, you know, her mom wore hijab, wore modest clothing. And she started crying and then she was hugging the bag of coffee.
Oh my God.
Is that so sweet? I almost started, I was like in this like really fast paced like event and I was like tearing up. I was like, wow, this really is meaning a lot to people outside of just myself. And I think that's what's making me the hunger for more visibility around my brand happen is like these moments like this where I'm like, oh, my culture, especially Middle Eastern women or femmes have been so deeply neglected. Mm-hmm. And I want to honor them because I think they're the best.
That's such a beautiful story. All right. I feel like I'm curious about like hurdles that you've come up against. I know that you've started like one of the things that we both deal with, I think, is like not like having a hard time being like, okay, I'm done working now and I'm going to take this time off. Whether it's a day or even like an hour, like I have trouble taking an hour in the middle of the day away from email. Just like the struggles that you're like the obstacles that you've come up against around and maybe also I think learning, I guess, what am I trying to say? Like how are you managing? What are you learning about yourself throughout this process and how are you managing like, or, and like, what are the obstacles that you've found?
Yeah. I mean, there's been so many obstacles of, I think a lot of them are financial. Like I don't come from a background of wealth and I don't really have, aside from like being able to move in with my mom, she's made it very clear. Like that is the way that she can help if anything were to go wrong. But there's no like, I can give you money, right? Or like accessing loans from a bank is really hard. You have to show them, you know, like there's all these like financial things So I think I had in the last year to be really have to change my mindset around money. I came from like a scarcity mindset of money from both my parents. Like my dad's an immigrant. My mom was a single mom for so long. Like you have to be, you never want to be in debt ever, ever, ever. Whereas like that's the opposite for a lot of my friends. A lot of my friends are really in debt. Mine is the opposite. I'm like deathly afraid of debt. And so, you know, in school, I always worked and paid for school. I got scholarships to pay for stuff. And so, yeah, I think in my program, I learned something that kind of shifted my brain because I'd already been like learning about money. I read the book Finance for the People. And I did this book club around money. I already was like starting to like get my feelers out around like my financial trauma. A lot of this came up in 2017 when I first started my first company called Woven. It's a diversity and inclusion consulting company. I was deathly afraid. Like I didn't know how to pay people. I didn't know how to talk about money. I didn't know how to ask about money, which is part of why I think the company like didn't succeed is because I was just so, I was not ready for the financial risk, right? Like I had a partner I was living with that was able to pay a lot of the financial bills. But I hadn't done it where like, if you don't make money, you could literally not have your house. Like this really is, you need to think about how you're going to figure this out, which is a different game, right? Than having like something you fall back on. Yeah. And so I think reading that book and then in class, they were like, sometimes there's such thing as good debt. And I remember like perking up.
I know. I
And
read, we were reading that book at the same time. And I remember seeing that too and being like, oh, what?
yeah. And I think in class, we talked more about it of like, you need money to make money.
Yeah.
So that is the actual reality. If you're going to get into this world, like somebody somewhere has to give you some sort of money, whether that's a credit card, whether that's a friend, whether that's like you do a GoFundMe, whether that's your family members, like whether that's you getting another job to pay for this, like you have to have some sort of income. And so for me, I don't have a lot of debt right now because I'm still afraid of it, but I have to put stuff on credit cards. Like, there's no way around that. And I'm like, I've had to have my bank account go to zero. Like, literally last week, this has never happened to me. And I had to like bring in all this cash. I was like, can you deposit the $600 into my account so I don't keep getting these withdrawal, like fees of $22 a day, which is also really interesting about our system. Like if you're broke, like they
They
punish
charge you.
you even more. So again, instead of being, if this was me a year ago, I would probably quit what I was doing because I would be so traumatized that that I have no money. And now I'm like, you just deposit the money and like you will pay that. I paid the credit card, the minimum payment. Usually I'll pay it in full. But again, I'm coming where I had like very privileged jobs. I worked in corporate America that allowed me to just pay things off. So I totally understand. There's people that live like this all the time. Again, I just come from privilege. So I just, this is a new thing for me being like, how am I going to pay rent now? Like, what am I going to do? But I was talking to another friend that took the leap just recently. They have a company called Queer and Trans Wealth, my friend Leo.
Yeah, I know. I'm friends with Leo too.
Yeah. And they were like, I would rather have this stress than the stress of like working for someone else and
Yes.
having to people please and having to mask and having to do things that you don't align with. And I was like, that's exactly why this is so addicting for me, is it being an entrepreneur, or not addicting. That's not the best word.
Yeah,
I like
exhilarating.
deeply, it's exhilarating. Like, I would rather have this stress than the other one.
Me too.
So, again, yeah, there are obstacles, but I'm actually choosing them in a way,
Yeah,
you
totally.
know?
Yeah. My parents, like my dad has worked for himself for the majority of my life. And my mom always worked for other people. And I see, that like when she looks back on her career, she's retired now, but when she like talks about her career, or even when she was still working, that there was this like the kind of, you know, the lows weren't as low as they were for my dad, because when things were low for my dad, it was like, what am I doing wrong? And, you know, how do I fix this? And it's like all falling on his shoulders and he can't pay his employees. And, you know, it's like very up and down, but the ups, you know, the sense of gratification and satisfaction and like pride is so much greater. And what I've seen is like, my mom is really risk averse. Like my mom doesn't, you said, take the leap. Like my mom can't even get near the edge of the cliff, you know, like, and whereas I feel I've seen myself enough times at the edge of a cliff, take a leap and get caught, you know, like be supported. And, you know, part of this is, I think, like a spiritual thing of just, I really believe that I'm protected. Like I am taken care of in like a really deep way. And, you know, through illness, through worms, through like a pandemic, you know, all of it, like I have felt so like cosmically supported, which has given me a lot of the confidence that I need to be like, I don't know what's off this cliff and I'm going to jump anyway.
I totally resonate with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, you know, you and I've talked a good deal about like I've noticed, you know, like there's a part in my book that I'm calling It's All the Same Thing. And it's like, it's very multifaceted, but I think one of the things that I mean by that is like the problems that I encounter in my dating life, in my friendships, in my family, it's the same problems that I encounter in business, which is like frustrating, but also it means that like, as I heal one aspect of, you know, say I heal attachment in like romantic relationships, I heal attachment in my work. Like it's all very, very interwoven. So I'd be curious to hear like some of the stuff where you've been like, oh, wow, that it's the same thing.
Yeah, I think I have been on this deep quest of like boundary work, and I'm noticing a huge shift in my work life. Like maybe in the last, you know, year, I didn't really take time off. That felt like really intentional. I would just be like, I'm burnt out, so I have to rest. Or like, I'm on my period, I'm bleeding, I have to rest. Or I'm sick, I have to rest. None of those are fun. No. None of those are like fun rest. Or I would like go out, but I'm just like needing to exert energy, or I'm like, but that's not actually like regulated. So emotional regulation and boundary work are the themes of the last 6 months. So I created this one sheeter. I should send it to you. I don't know if I have sent it to you, but it's this one pager. I actually did a talk on this last night with Occidental students. And I was like, I created this one pager where, what are ways to regulate? And for me, it's time management and my emotions. So time management is like, if I am overbooking myself or not scheduling times of rest, I'm going to be dysregulated. And then my emotions are going to be dysregulated, right? And then there's other categories of like, what are my days off, like daily? And then what are daily activities to be regulated? What are like actual specific places that make me feel joy? So I put like going to a show at the Elysian, going to walk around Switzer Falls in Los Angeles, you know, like specific places, and then solo date ideas. So I list restaurants that are affordable, restaurants that are more expensive, and then like more solo date. Like I really like trying new coffee shops. So like I need to like create a file of new coffee shops. So, and then the last thing is people I can call for support. And then like resources for support. What are books that are supportive or regulating? And the reason I did this is I was like, I'm done not like giving this attention. I know that I live by my calendar. So if things are not programmed into my calendar, it doesn't happen. That's the unfortunate reality. but I'm busy, so I have to live by my calendar. So when I realized that, I was like, okay, every Monday, you have to take the day off because I work weekends. Like you, so I booked now can't like on my calendar every Monday, it just says have fun. So, because if I put rest or these other words that I always ignore, I'm going to ignore it. But have fun, I don't ignore fun. I like to have fun, right? So I put have fun, and then I don't think I can truly take another full day off right now, but I can do a half day. So that's Fridays. Fridays now are wellness days. So I called my massage place and I booked out for every 3 weeks for the next 6 months, I get a massage at this time. So if I didn't do that, it's not going to get done. And I'm not going to do every week, like, can I get a massage? Can I get, like, so what I guess I'm trying to say is, how do I look out for myself, for my future self? Okay. Like, you know, if you don't eat or you don't plan, blah, 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 you're going to, and you have all these things coming down the pipeline, you're going to be dysregulated. So let's make sure that you go grocery shopping today and you make one meal that you can eat later. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to have my own back and my future's back, so that I don't get in these like deep pendulum swings of dysregulation where I'm actually debilitated and I'm nonverbal. That's not useful. And it doesn't feel good. Aside from useful, it does not feel good to me anymore.
Yeah.
So those are like huge ways of like changing up my life. And then I think boundary stuff, like I always was like, I actually literally don't know what boundaries means. So I bought this book. And I was like, what does it mean? And the lady was like, you know, if you think boundaries are mean, you need to get it out of your head. Like I thought it was, I didn't know what they actually meant, but I also thought they were mean. So like that is no longer how I view it. So now I'm doing this workbook. Wait, what is it called? Set boundaries and find peace.
Yeah. But it's so interesting to hear you say that, Hannah. Like, I don't know when in your history you felt that way, or maybe it was something that was, you know, like just in your head, but not actually in how you were behaving. Because as long as I've known you, like you're an excellent communicator. You're very clear and you have very firm boundaries. So I don't know if you just like didn't realize that that was like what you were doing, or if something changed.
I think that I don't have boundaries when I think things are like fun, kind of like, or I don't know, or like even dating, but dating really impacts my work life. Like I need to stick to a schedule. Like I really need to be, so I just have tightened the ship. Like maybe I did have all these things internally, but I think I'm just tightening the ship of like, I can't go hang out with somebody late, or if I'm going to go, I have to actually now leave early because tomorrow's a really big day for me. Whereas before I would just be go out with no like cap, and then I'd be exhausted the next day for these meetings, or I'd have to reschedule. Right. Or, like, I don't know. I think I'm just like taking my work more seriously.
Yeah.
Especially now because I'm adding a layer of like programming. So I'm bringing back D&I into my company. And that feels really exciting. Like I really am doing this like author series, like at the bookstore where I bring in people that are writing stuff or poets. Like I want to do music events. Like I have all these like fun things kind of coming up that I don't want to miss. Not that I'm going to physically miss them, but like my brain and my body are so depleted that I'm actually not present for my stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I'm doing really cool, fun stuff that I don't want to miss because I've stayed out or I did this or I did that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I really like what you're saying about like, how do I today take care of my future self? I feel like that's a really great way to think about it. There was like a party that I was going to last night, and I went all the way there in like the pouring rain. And it was like the meetup of like people from the music school that I've been taking classes at online. And I thought that there was food at the bar. It looked like there was a taco truck. I got there and there wasn't. So I was really hungry. And I was like, all right, number one priority is feeding me. So I left and I got some food and I thought I would go back. And then when I went back, I was like, there, if I can't, it's pouring so hard. Like if I can't find parking, I'm just going to go home. And I really had to ask myself, like, is future Mia, you know, tomorrow morning, are you going to be disappointed in yourself for like not meeting strangers in a situation that's like set up really well for you to meet some strangers? And at the end of the day, I was like, you know what, if there had been food, I would have stayed. Like if it wasn't pouring rain, I would have gone back and I would have walked 2 blocks for parking. But like, I don't think I'm going to be disappointed. Anyway, I'm just sort of, you know, I think about this a lot. Like how do I take care of future me? How is future me going to feel about the decision that I'm making right now? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is a good moment for us to mention our event. Can you remind me what day is it now? It's the 21st, or did we have to change it?
Let's see.
Hannah and I are doing a author talk at this bookstore, the North Figueroa Bookshop in Highland Park in Los Angeles. To talk about my workbook on boundaries and consent for people pleasers, which is being published by For the Birds Trapped in Airports. It is available for pre-order and the link is in the show notes. And there should be books for sale also at this event. So it's Thursday, March 28th at 7 p.m. Okay, good. I'm really glad that we talked about this because I have to move it on my calendar. Is there like a pre-sale thing? Like, do people register?
Yeah, we're going to make a party full link so people can buy tickets before. We'll probably put that out at the beginning of March.
Okay.
So cool. People can just save it on the calendar and then look out for that.
Okay, great. Well, anything else?
Any last questions?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I mean, obviously I could just talk to you, but like in terms of, I think what we were hoping to do here is like, I just wanted to hear from you about everything that we covered. And yeah, what are you looking forward to with Saffron Cowboy?
I am looking forward. There's two things. So because of this boundary stuff, I've hired employees. I was like, I'm no longer able. I've capped out at what I can do by myself.
Yes.
And now I need a team or I need support. So Christine is my barista, the sweetest person ever. Hamza, fills in for barista stuff, but he is really helping push the sales aspect. And like, how do we get more visibility? How do we get more traction? So I'm excited to see my beans like in all these different like cafes or in different stores. I also am really excited about all the programming that we're going to be doing, especially when it comes like our niche is Middle Eastern representation. So to like throw events that are, yeah, that really center people, my people that have been continuously like left out of the conversation feels really exciting. At the end of the month, we have Rhonda Girard, who's an amazing activist and author, reading from her book. And that's just going to be a really cool activation, especially she's Palestinian. So I think the programming is really exciting to me because I think there's a way to like, there'll always be coffee at everything that I do. But sometimes I describe like sometimes coffee when it's like just straight up a catering or vending event, she's like the Beyonce of the Destiny's Child. And then in the programming space, sometimes the coffee is like the Michelle and Kelly. Like you have to have them. They're so important, but they're not necessarily the stars, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see my programming kind of expand. And then one thing that I've like really gotten interested in is to continue to throw like vending events. And it would be really cool to like do them in Eagle Rock. I had talked to the council people here before, But to find like a high school and then throw huge kind of flea markets, like that is kind of the goal. That's a great way to bring community together. And it could be cultural, right? It could be majority Middle Eastern, North African, South Asian vendors. I don't know. That feels really exciting to me. And then the ultimate goal is to find a mixed use space that I can do co-working during the day and then a late night programming coffee place at night. But that feels a little like in the next 3 year plan. But that's the ultimate goal. I want to have an actual tangible space where we do work together and we're all working on our whatever, all these solo entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs come together and then we like actually are like connecting outside of like what we were doing on our laptop. Feels, I want a space like that. So I want to create a space like that. So that's kind of the ultimate goal that I'm super excited for.
Amazing. Are you doing anything tonight that I should come to? I just got canceled on because my date is sick.
Oh, no, not tonight. No, nothing tonight. So sad. And we were gonna do another thing on tomorrow, but our person got sick. They got COVID.
Oh.
Sad. But there's the self-love market this
This weekend.
Sunday. Yeah, that will be really, really cute.
Cool.
So I'm excited for that. I like, not that I'm not excited for my vending markets, but this one feels like really cute. Like, I don't know, like lovey and queer and like, I think it'll be fun.
Amazing. So if people want to find you, if they want to hire you, if they want to know where to get your coffee, where should they find you?
Yes, so you can go on saffroncowboy.com. You can do saffroncowboy on Instagram or saffroncowboy@gmail.com are all the great ways.
Amazing.
Thanks, Mia.
Yeah, thank you, Hannah.
This was
Good.
fun.
Yeah, good to see you. Good to talk to you.